Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm so pleased to be joined by filmmaker Mads Brugger. Is that how you...
Perfect.
Right. And presenting the film Cold Case Hammarskjöld here at the festival. Actually, this film is one of the finalist films of the Lux Prize this year.
Thank you so much.
So it's a great pleasure to have you here. But for the first question that I would ask you is very simple, just for the benefit of our listeners at home who are not familiar with the film yet. Would you like to maybe say a few words to introduce it?
For sure. It's a documentary which investigates or sets out to investigate the suspicious death of a former UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld. He was a Swedish aristocrat who became the UN Secretary General in 1953. And he was killed in a plane crash in what was back then Northern Rhodesia, today Zambia. And almost immediately there were rumors and speculations about if the plane had been brought down. So the film begins investigating these rumors. We are tracking down remaining black witnesses who tell a very different story from the official version. And then it pretty much evolves into a horror film.
Yes, that's true. And the fact that perhaps this is a possibly terribly little known case, it should be possibly well known more than it is, makes it all the more shocking because you really don't know where the story is going to go. At least for me, I wasn't familiar with the concept. But just a very simple follow-up question would be, what was your reason for pursuing this investigation?
For me, it began approximately 7 years ago, where I read about a private Swedish researcher named Jörn Björkdahl, who was busy tracking down the remaining black witnesses. At that point in time, I knew very little about Dag Hammarskjöld and what happened back in 1961. So I met with Jörn, and he is the very opposite of a conspiracy theorist. He's a very skeptical, thorough researcher, and I immediately understood that there had to be a film in this. I also liked the idea about, you know, two middle-aged Scandinavian guys setting out to prove that the UN Secretary General was the victim of a conspiracy.
That's true.
It's like a megalomaniacal, you know, ambition. You know, what can possibly go wrong here? It's the stakes are high.
Right. I like that, the way that you highlighted that. At some point in the middle of the film, you do draw attention to the fact that there may be a personal motive for you to make this documentary that even goes beyond the case itself.
Well, yes, because what I say in the film is, you know, initially I wasn't that interested in Dag Hammarskjöld as a historical figure and as a diplomat and so on. Actually, I was more interested in my own legacy.
Right.
But also, when you're working on a film for 7 years, which is being funded by the Danish Film Institute, you are supposed to, you know, find the smoking gun. And every year I had to appear in front of the Danish Film Institute and explain how come your film is not, you know, done yet.
Oh, yeah.
And it gradually became like a running joke in Copenhagen to ask me, you know, Mads, how is your Dag Hammarskjöld film coming along? You know, meaning the film you will never be able to finish. So in that sense, I had a personal motive to, you know, to take it to the very end.
Right. You mentioned that the film took you 7 years to make, to complete.
Yeah.
So, and you also mentioned that, you know, people were kind of talking about it. But that's, to me, when someone says that, that's a big part of your life, I feel like. So that's a big commitment. Do you ever feel that it's also a big commitment to take on?
Luckily, it's, you know, my daytime job in Denmark is being a journalist and an editor at a national Danish talk radio station.
Right.
So I'm not financially dependent on making films, but it also allowed me to take, you know, breaks from, in many ways crazy endeavor, as the Dag Hammarskjöld film turned out to be. Because we were sitting on a mountain of research material that was, you know, piling up. And so I had these pauses, lengthy pauses in between, which was good for my, you know, sanity and probably also good for my family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And So I wanted to also ask you, because you're examining something that happened some time ago, when you're going down, you know, this rabbit hole of secrets and mysteries and you're meeting witnesses, do you feel like also some of those secrets are being left exposed because they're looking for this, those truths to come out? Some of the people are looking for those truths to come out. And I could also ask you in the same way, do you feel that when you're talking to the people who were involved with these situations, they were happy to let some of the stuff out?
I do think it's, you know, part of being human is, you know, having a need to, you know, spill the beans, disclose what you really know, to come clean, to tell the truth. Hmm. And that goes for some of the witnesses we meet in the film. But in a strange way, when we began filming, this was considered conspiracy theory for senior citizens. The official version, of course, was that Da Kammerschult was killed in a plane crash because of pilot error. But while shooting the film, the UN suddenly reopens the investigation because of new evidence pointing towards a conspiracy to kill him. And so gradually it actually becomes conspiracy reality. Mm. And in some ways the film is a meditation on, you know, fact and fiction. Yes. And also, you know, conspiracy theory and conspiracy reality. And walks a tightrope between these, you know, realms.
I'd love to ask you more about that, actually, the kind of reality and fiction, the contrast that this film also explores. Having seen your previous film, The Ambassador, I noticed that there was a bit of that too as well. So it's a contrast that obviously even stylistically interests you.
Very much so, but most interestingly for me in this film is that the main villain of the story, a sinister character named Keith Maxwell, who was the last known leader of a South African underground militia named the South African Maritime Research Institute. He left fictionalized memoir, which was discovered after he died. The first part I found in the South African Historical Archives. They were given originally to a South African journalist by Maxwell himself, the first part of the memoir. And then much later on, whilst meeting with the brother of a woman who was part of Saima, we discovered the last part. Mm. And apparently someone from Saima gave that last part to the mother of that woman.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, reality being stranger than fiction.
When you make those discoveries, what do you feel like? What does that feel like to you?
That is a goosebump moment.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that is also something which, you know, when working on a film for that long, one of the big, you know, joys and pleasures is, you know, moments like these.
I would love to ask you so many more questions. Maybe I'll just leave it to one. You know, we talked about your personal motives for bringing this story to light, but just in a wider scale, what do you think is the benefit of maybe not this film specifically, but of revisiting history and maybe, you know, dealing with cold cases in documentaries for modern audiences? You know, what do you think? What is the effect that could that something like that could have?
I think my film will definitely have impact because recently our main witness in the film, a former mercenary named Alexander Jones, he met with the UN.
Oh yes.
We have also been sharing a lot of our research with the UN, and on the approximately mid-September they will publish a report about the whole deal. As far as I understand, it is leaning towards a conspiracy to kill Da Kammerschult. I think also, you know, in some ways the film is also about, you know, true crime, conspiracy theory as phenomena, you know, why they are so attractive, what lures us, you know, to go down the rabbit hole. But it's also, you know, a story about know, the dark side of that.
Yes.
Because you shouldn't believe everything that you are being told, basically.
We're going to have to wrap it up, but I really could ask you so many more questions, but for now we'll just have to leave it at that. But really, thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure having
you. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.